Middays with Mannix and Mannix. We're back here on 96.3 WJJB, the Big Jab, Jeff and Taylor on the microphones, and we are now starting to get deep into the spring high school sports seasons here for 2026. We're, about a month away from state championship weekend in baseball, softball, and lacrosse. Here to talk about all of that with us, we are happy to welcome back from Hoffers High School Sports, Michael Hoffer. Michael, great to join. Great to have you join us once again, man. How have you been?
I'm doing well. It's good to chat with you guys again. It's been a while, and there's a lot to talk about.
Sure is a lot to talk about here. As you mentioned here, we are about halfway or so into these spring seasons, and really a lot of headlines for sure to cover with you here today. So I'll let you kind of lead off here with things. What's kind of for you so far kind of the big takeaway from the spring season?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, for the most part, the teams that you'd expect to contend are doing so. And, you know, looking at girls lacrosse, there's some really good matchups so far. We've seen some surprise results. You know, Wyndham, they're the defending state champ, and they've already lost two games this year. They were beaten by Thornton Academy, who's kind of surged and come right to the top. And then they lost to Yarmouth last week. So I think Class A, Kennebunk right now looks like the clear favorite. And, of course, we thought that last year, too, and they were undefeated going into the state final, and then Wyndham beat them. But Kennebunk hasn't won the title the last 2 years. They had won it the 3 years before that. You know, this group of seniors especially really wants to get back to the top, and they're looking like they're going to be really tough to beat. Not only do they have a great offense, their defense is probably the best in the league, in the area. They've got a terrific goalie. So they're going to be really tough to knock off. And one of their three All-Americans from last year, Helen Kenny, hasn't even played yet. She's recovering from a knee injury, and I know they hope to get her back. So that will make them even more formidable. So I think in my mind they're the favorites. But, you know, after that, there's five, six teams that really all can knock each other off and maybe make a serious run at Kennebunk. You know, Falmouth had a nice start to the season. Just one loss so far, a dramatic come-from-behind win over Chevers the other night. TA, as I mentioned, you know, it's still a relatively young group. But they're peaking right now. They've won five in a row, including that big win over Wyndham, and I know they're feeling very good about their chances. They get Falmouth tonight. Wyndham, you can't overlook. They still have arguably the two best players in the state, and Abby Trainer and Nev Ledbetter. They've had a couple stumbles, but they're going to be they'll be heard from. Chevers is having a fantastic season. The Brunel sisters have been terrific, and they have several other great players as well. So, you know, I think anyone from that group, and let's throw in Yarmouth too, you know, they're starting to peak now, having that big win over Wyndham last week. I think any of those teams that has serious title considerations, and they're still all playing each other a lot here over the next couple weeks. So a lot of that will be shaking out still.
Yeah, and just interested who maybe taking it to Class B too, who surprised you the most this year so far in this grouping?
You know, I think in Class B, certainly Greeley, I think Greeley's the best team. And, you know, they've proved it so far. They stumbled a little bit early against Class A foes, and now they've won six in a row. They beat Freeport, which kind of got their season going, you know, Freeport being the defending champ. And, you know, Freeport graduated two fabulous players last year, and Neil Levesque and, of course, Lena DeRusso. They've both graduated and moved on, and as a result, the Falcons have come back to the pack a little bit. They were the only team that went undefeated last year, and they're sitting at 4-4 right now. They have won three in a row, that's largely due to a really tough schedule. I think you're still going to be hearing from them very much when the postseason rolls around. You know, Messalonsky, you know, quietly putting together a great season. They had a loss at Scarborough here the other night, but other than that, they haven't lost a game, and they're actually in first place in the heels right now, so... You know, I think that's a team to watch. I still think ultimately it's going to come down to Greeley and Freeport one more time. And, you know, hopefully they'll play in the state game this year and not in the semifinals like they did last year, even though they produced that incredible overtime epic. And then, you know, Class C is really interesting to me, guys. I think when we first went to three classes, you know, Freeport was still in Class C. And then you had NYA and Waynefleet, kind of the pedigreed powers. But you look at what it is now. I mean, last year's state game was Marana-Cook-Winthrop against Drape Academy. Marana-Cook-Winthrop's in the top spot again this year, looking very strong. You know, Wells has been to a state game in recent years. You know, they're looking really good. Trape is still in the mix, and it's kind of fun to see some new blood in there. I still think, Wayne Fleet and NYA will be in the mix when all is said and done. But you've got some teams that really had no lacrosse tradition, and even as recently as a few years ago, suddenly propelling themselves up into relevance and serious title contention. So I think the sport is growing, and in that regard, it's certainly exciting to have a lot more schools involved.
Yeah, for sure. And boys' side, I suppose, at least looking at Class A, a lot of the usual suspects up towards the top. Falmouth 7-0, Thornton Academy 8-0, Yarmouth 6-1, but Edward Little's broken in there as well with an 8-1 start. It looks like a fairly decent start to the season there with Class A lacrosse.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I think most people expect you're going to get a rematch of last year's state game when TA upset Falmouth and denied them the moniker of maybe the best team ever. I remember how much of a powerhouse that Falmouth team was until TA upset them in that state game. And they haven't met yet this year. They meet on June 2nd. That'll be a can't-miss game. And, it'll probably be for the one seed at that point. But, both teams have really passed every test so far, not really been seriously tested. Deering did give TA a bit of a scare, but they came back and won that game. But, those two teams are really good. And then, the compelling story to me is Yarmouth, the two-time defending Class B champ. They've moved up to Class A this year. And other than a one-goal loss at Cape, they've passed every test. They've got to go to Scarborough tonight. Scarborough's a team that's surging. They've got some dramatic overtime wins to their credit. I know they're looking forward to measuring themselves against Yarmouth tonight. But the Clippers get Falmouth and TA later in the year, so I think we'll get a real idea of just, how close they are to these two Class A powers and, whether or not, we really have to throw Yarmouth in that mix as a serious title contender, too. I know they feel like they can do it. Deering's been a fun team to watch. They've had a little bit of a rough stretch here lately, but, they can go toe-to-toe with anyone. And, like I said, Scarborough's really been winning games lately. It hasn't moved them up the standings much. But they're a team that's very dangerous and no one's going to want to see. So, Class A, it's certainly top-heavy. I'd be surprised if we don't see Falmouth TA. Maybe Yarmouth sneaks in there, and I can speak to that in a couple weeks better, whether or not I think that they have an opportunity. But, I think the favorites are clear there. Class B is a different story where Yarmouth's out, so it leaves a vacuum now. Messalonsky's certainly, right now it's first. York, which has lost the last two state games in overtime, they want to get back and win it, but they've been hit hard by graduation. They're not quite the powerhouse they've been. And then after that, you just got a lot of unfamiliar names here of teams that are right now near the top of the standings, like Morse and the Great New Gloucester Poland Co-op. Greeley, I think, is a team that if they peak and come on, I think we could see them make a run deep into June. So those teams are certainly a mix. In Class C, NYA is the defending champ. They're certainly looking really good at this point. I saw them beat Freeport in overtime the other day. They're going to be tough to knock off, but there's several teams there that have a chance, and we'll see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. And looking over at the baseball diamond, we'll save softball for last. And obviously, there's a huge name that a lot of people want to hear about. Save the best for last there, knowing what's been happening with that a little bit for those who have followed. But on the baseball diamond, what have you made of what you've seen in Class A South? I know Chevres right now on that side, just like on the softball side, has put together a really good season, only losing to Gorham 8-1, and of course Gorham right behind them at 6-1. Tell us what you've seen on the baseball diamond so far this year, and again, it looks like the Stags are at the top of both of those totem poles in A in softball and baseball.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you more about baseball, but every time I plan to see a baseball game, it gets rained out.
Of course.
Not had much luck. I have caught a few games, but the plan was to see many more, and, I'll have to make up for it on the back end. But, I think, to me, Chevres has certainly been a big story here. They won three games all of last season. Ryan Copps come in and turn this program around, and I think, Chevres, they made a statement on opening day. They were down three runs to Thornton Academy at TA. Going to the seventh inning, they came back and won that game, and they've kind of never looked back. They've had some games that have been well-documented. They beat Westbrook 38-1. They turned around and had a rally from a 5-0 deficit to beat Noble. They had a close win against Scarborough, who's always been a top contender, the other day. So, they're a team that's a lot of fun to watch. Some new kids that are making big contributions and some veterans who are really elevating their game. Colton Jewett came over from Gorham this school year. We talked about him during football and basketball, and he he's a terrific left-handed pitcher. So, he's certainly made a difference. Gorham's got his, their pitching is as good as anyone. They had the one surprise loss to Massabesic, but otherwise they've handled everybody. Their win over Chevres certainly turned some heads, and I think that was big for them. Yeah, TA got off to a very slow start. They were 2-2, but they're just starting to put it together now. They have a big win over Scarborough recently. South Portland, they're undefeated. Hudson Iaquessa getting a lot of well-deserved attention for what he's done. He threw a no-hitter, and then he turned around and threw a perfect game, and then the games he hasn't pitched, he's getting 3-4 hits, driving in runs. He's just a natural standout player, and he and that team, Nate Masters, has come over from Scarborough. He's another top arm for South Portland, and I feel like they're not at the top of the heels, but they might be the top team at this point. Scarborough, you can never write them off. They always seem to save their best for the end, and they've been in the hunt. And then Falmouth is down the ladder a little bit, but they've won 5 straight games, and no one's ever going to write off a Mike DeAndrea coach team come playoff time. So I think we'll hear more from them. B, it looked like Greeley early on was just going to run away with this. They won their first 4 games with ease, and then they turned around and lost a couple, including a mercy rule loss to Wells. And you never see Greeley lose by mercy rule. But Wells is right up at the top of the standings. Freiburg Academy, who made that surprise run to the regional final last year, they're looking really strong at this point. And, don't write off Greeley. They're going to be there at the end. They took it to Cape the other day, who's another top contender. So I'm, some familiar names there and some newer teams that maybe haven't been as strong contenders in recent years that are also crashing the party. And that's going to make for a fun postseason, no question.
That always makes for a fun postseason for sure. And looking at the Class C South baseball standings, too, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised to see Old Orchard Beach at the top of the heap right now at 6-1, always a competitive team there. But right now, up at the top of the standings with, of course, Monmouth and Socopee right there, too.
Yeah, some familiar names, no question about it. It seems like Monmouth's always around and come tournament time, and Socopee Valley's had some great teams in recent years.
Yeah, Coach Stacy does a great job there. It's funny, I actually was just seeing his USM Baseball, who just won the Little East Conference, to seal the deal. Two former players, Carson Black,
right. The
pitcher, started and got the win in their Steeler, and then Caleb Vacchiano, the former third baseman shortstop for them, hit a grand slam in the 8th inning to help give them the boost. So it's always great to see Socopee Valley kids doing their thing. And as you mentioned, Michael, no surprise that program is once again towards the top of Class C as they produce even those college athletes out of there too to play at those levels. Let's go to softball now too and talk a little bit about Chevres. Addison DeRoche has continued to drop jaws around the state. I know you've probably been having a lot of fun covering her this year. What can you tell us about this 7-0 Chevres softball team and, of course, the future Florida State-bound softball player?
Yeah, I can tell you she's even better than she was last year or the year before, and she was otherworldly in those 2 seasons. And, she's just elevated in a notch. She's given up a couple hits here and there and a run or two, but, for the most part, she's recorded somewhere between 2/3 and 3/4 of her outs by strikeout. She's just it's just amazing. I've run out of adjectives to even try to explain how good she is. And not only is she a great pitcher, she can crush the ball too. And that's the thing with the Chevres team. There's not an easy out in their lineup. Some of the other teams have some really good hitters, but they don't have the hitters 1 through 9. And that, combined with DeRoche, really sets Chevres apart. I think even if they didn't have Addison, their lineup might be enough to be the top team in that region. But, they've already played all these teams that are the top contenders and the teams that we thought maybe would make a run at them. They beat Bon Eagle, they beat Windham, they beat Gorham. They haven't played Scarborough yet. They get Windham again tomorrow. That game's over at Windham. I know Windham's looking forward to that one. And after that, they have the Scarborough game later on. But, there's a very good chance they're going to run the table again, just like they did last year. Of course, last year they couldn't finish the job. They lost the regional final to Windham. So they're very, very motivated, and it's not just DeRoche. Haley Lamontagne's as good a hitter as you can find. They've got several other seniors who are big contributors, like girls we know, like Kylie Lampson and Anna Goodman from basketball. This group is hungry. They're motivated. They're incredibly talented, and they're going to be really tough to knock off. To me, I think it's going to be interesting to see who can finish 2nd and 3rd, because you want to finish in the 2 or the 3 spot to avoid Chevres until the regional final. And I know coaches won't necessarily say that, but I've got to believe it's in the back of your mind. You want to avoid Chevres as long as possible. And of course, if you're the 2 seed, you get 2 games at home, conceivably. And right now, Gorham's got the inside track for that. They're a team that they might have the 2nd best pitcher in the area, and Bella McBrady, and You know, they've got some really good hitters too. Scarborough, you know, for years, and I think even in our early days chatting, it was always Scarborough was the first team we mentioned. They've been down a little bit in recent years, but they got off to a really fast start this season. Audrey Gavin, their new coach, has really reinvigorated that program. They have lost a couple games recently, but they're back, no question. And Bon Eagle is as good as they were advertised in the preseason. You know, Wyndham, they don't have the frontline pitching they've had in recent seasons, but they've still got some really, really talented players. And West South Portland, I mean, South Portland's just a couple bad innings away from being undefeated. Mm-hmm. Throw them in there with Westbrook as other teams. So, you know, you've got a solid top seven teams here. Teams 2 through 7, like I said, are going to be jockeying to avoid Severus as long as possible.
Yeah, I know it's been a couple of years since Brooke Gary was on the mound, but I'm sure Gorham still hopes that they can get back to those days. Those were some fun matchups, man. What was it? I think that was 2024 when we were getting those matchups with Gary and company against that Severus team.
Yeah, that was the epic regional final, and even last year, Kennedy
sick.
Kimball.
That's right,
Kennedy Kimball beat Severus in the regional final. So. You know, they've got some solid pitching. They just don't have, you know, that ace for this year.
Right.
That's been the difference so far.
Yeah, and for those wondering, Brooke Gary, by the way, she's in her sophomore year still now at URI. She has an ERA right now of a 4.25 and is getting regular starts, so congrats to her.
Good
I know
her.
People may be wondering where she's at, but just like Addison, another Division I player there from softball.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael, for you watching this sport develop, we're talking about Brooke Gary at URI, an everyday starter. We're now talking about Addison DeRoche going to Florida State. Is Maine softball having its moment here?
Oh, yeah, I mean, clearly we're in a moment where we're enjoying, I think, probably the best player we're ever going to see, or at least we've seen so far. You never know what the future brings, but you know, enjoy Addison DeRoche while she's here. Hopefully, we get her one more year. But what she's done. It's just inconceivable. And to do it with everyone expecting you to do it every time out, let's face it, she's a 16-year-old young woman. And she handles the pressure. She's a great kid. She always defers to her teammates. She's really something special. And if you haven't seen her pitch, I strongly encourage you to go out and see what all the fuss is about, because she's the real deal. And, no question that it's certainly helping – raise the profile of Maine softball, and we're seeing some other players planning to go on and play at some big schools. There's been a lot of signings here the last few weeks all over the state, so not just softball but a lot of sports. And I think life is good right now for Maine high school athletes who want to play in college. There's certainly some great role models here of recent vintage of who you want to be like, and I know that these current boys and girls are very excited about their opportunities.
Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports. Make sure to subscribe to Hoffer's High School Sports for some of the best high school sports coverage you're going to get here in Southern Maine. Michael Hoffer, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Great to have you back. Looking forward to having you back again next Friday.
Yeah, sounds great, guys. Good to chat with you. And looking forward to some better weather next week and a lot of good games to talk about.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Again, Michael Hoffer with our Southern Maine High School Sports Report. We'll be right back to close out Hour 2. It's our finally Friday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix.